This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive with Em and Warren.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
You know, I once woke myself up from sleep because I was having a dream that I thought was so funny. I was working as Enya's personal assistant.
Amazing.
And she was about to get on stage, but she was having a diva fit because she was really nervous and she was freaking out. And I held her down and I shouted at her and I said, you need to calm the F down. You are effing Enya. And I laughed at myself awake. It was great.
I love that. That's like the best dream I've ever heard. That is so good, Susie.
I don't know what that means.
It means you're a bad ass. That's what it means.
Straight great. To the point.
And you could totally help Enya in a crisis.
Have you made contact with
her? I love that. No, I haven't. I love that I was trying to calm her down. It was funny.
Maybe you use her music to calm you down and therefore you felt like you needed to, reciprocate.
I don't know if I really do. Her music's just funny now, isn't it? Like, it's sort of taken as a cultural joke because it's so over the top. I do like these sort of celebrity sightings in the dreams. It's really nice. It's really nice. I always dream about Madonna.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's always like, her ignoring me or something.
That seems really Madonna-like. That's a very factual dream.
No, it's very like inadequacy on my part. Like, I'll feel small, like, in her presence.
But isn't Madonna the one that said, like, about Ariana Grande or someone, like, who is she? Or, like, I've never heard of her or something?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, like, that's a Madonna thing to do. Just even icons.
Who is Susie Rong? She would know who Susie Rong is, though.
Exactly.
She's always shading on her competition, that's true.
Yeah, you should take that as, like, a compliment, yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
She's threatened by you. Now, Susie, we are talking about In Our Blood, which is streaming on ABC TV and iView. What's it all about?
In Our Blood is a 4-episode ABC drama about Australia's response to the AIDS crisis from its initial emergence in 1983 to the launch of the Grim Reaper television ad campaign in 1987. The story takes place in Sydney, our national gay refuge, and also in Canberra, where we see government policies being made. In Our Blood is produced and written by Adriano Cappelletta, who also performs as one of the 4 chorus members who provide narration and flamboyant musical interludes between all the drama. A central character, David Westford, played by Tim Draxel, is a closeted gay man who starts a job advising the new Hawke government on its health policies just in time to deal with the new phenomenon of the AIDS crisis. In Our Blood is inspired by real events, but characters are fictionalized for dramatic effect. It is unlikely that David is a single real person. In fact, even public figures like the health minister is given a pseudonym. The show, however, is an enjoyable one. I particularly love all the women, straight and gay, who contribute to the AIDS effort, from nuns and sex workers to activists and the dykes on bikes and a radio celebrity, all of whom bring great texture to the story of a movement that was never about a single heroic figure. I would have liked the dialogue to be more natural and conversational instead of a lot of historical exposition all through the 4 episodes. But In Our Blood is in general a sleek production with whimsical moments that help to make it feel less like the same old tale over and over again. I think it's very well made, but I do wish that In Our Blood was able to set itself apart more from things like The Normal Heart, Holding the Man and the Band Played On, etc. But there's no doubt it's a great effort by the ABC. Em and Warren, were you ready for all 4 episodes to drop at once on Sunday night?
I guess we weren't. However, I know we both finished it. We finished the 4 episodes. My biggest qualm with this series is I understand what you're saying, Susie, about holding its own and having like a point of differentiation from, the stories that we've already been told, namely the ones that you mentioned. However, I don't understand why it needed to have the musical numbers. For me, they did not value add anything. In fact, they took away from the severity in some moments and kind of like were a bit jarring, and I just really didn't appreciate them. And if that's what they're billing as, like a musical drama, I was like, I don't want them. I skipped through them. I don't want the songs.
Well, I don't think they should have billed it as a musical drama, because there kind of aren't musical numbers that, like you said, add very much to the narrative. I do like it break. I like that it breaks the mood, though, because I think without it, it might have been a little bit dull. The tone of it was all very severe. And, you know, I guess you can't really do a lot of comedy, or maybe you can because it has been many years. I don't know. But I was thankful when the songs came through. And for me, because I'm from that era, it sort of works as a flashback mechanism quite effectively. Like, naturally, yeah, kind of you get reminded of what things felt like when those very familiar songs from the 80s came out.
Do you think, though, Susie, if you're saying that without the songs, it was a little bit dull, that instead of adding the songs, they could have just made a better script? Like, I don't mean to be brutally brutal, but these are my thoughts.
I do agree. I do agree. My problem with the script was how almost all of the dialogue was explaining a story. And I felt like people don't really talk like that. And it made the acting really hard. It's really hard to act when you are talking, when the script that you've got, it's not really how people talk. And we know that in times of trauma, people talk around the problem. People talk over the problem. People don't kind of directly keep harping on the thing as much as these people do. So it felt like, oh, the actors are good in that their emotions were all very accurate and they were all sort of very sincere. But it doesn't feel like real world.
We're talking to Susie Rong about In Our Blood, currently streaming on ABC TV and iView. I have to admit, though, the music, look, you know, I lived through the AIDS crisis. You know, I lost the friends, the partners, the whole works, and it was a hell of a time, as you know, Susie. And I felt like, in some ways, the music came in and you're right, sort of snapped you out of that, oh, it was so horrible. But also, there were times like there was a hospital scene, and I know they did performances in hospitals to the sick people, but I can tell you the sick people at Fairfield Hospital in the AIDS ward weren't dancing around or tapping their, you know, in the chairs. They were sort of barely struggling to smile because they were so sick and so unwell. So it sort of glosses over that reality, yet it's trying to tell the story. And I couldn't help but feel that, you know, it wasn't doing it justice. Was it a documentary or was it a drama, or were they trying to blend both? And then historically, like, a lot of it was true, you know, particularly with the health minister and the government and the US government. But, you know, they also say we made some parts of it up. So people who don't know what we went through could walk away and say, well, I don't know what was true and what wasn't true. And what was the experience really like? And was it that, you know, people were sick, but they didn't look sick? I mean, the guys didn't look sick in the show that I was watching last night. Yet my memory of my friends lying in hospital looking gaunt and terrible and so sick was totally different. So I struggled watching it from that perspective. I felt like it wasn't doing it justice for what happened.
Oh, thanks, Warren. You're right. Like, I'm like instantly reminded when you're talking about that of the imagery that I have seen from news coverage and documentaries from that time when your eyes can't believe what you're watching. You know, I was younger, I think, cause, I was like, you know, in my early teens, so I didn't have friends, luckily. But, I do remember the imagery that I saw, the real life stuff that I saw. It was just horrendous. And we don't have that in the film. I do also agree that sort of blurring between what's real and what's not, it makes the viewing a little bit awkward, because my instinct is to make heroes out of these people. I'm like, oh my God, isn't she great? I wonder where she is now. Yeah, isn't he great? I wonder if he's still alive. But then the second that you have these sort of inspiring feelings, this inspiring moments, you think, oh, maybe it's all fate. So I think that makes me think, oh, that's why people go through so much trouble to write things that are a lot more sort of historically accurate, I suppose.
Sorry, continue.
I did think that it is a very short period of time. I wonder why it didn't sort of go through a longer period instead of just ending where the Grim Reaper TV ad happened. And I thought maybe it would have been better if we tell a story of what happens when AZT and all that medication comp came on board, because we don't sort of have that part of that that history very much. We have a lot of history on film about the first couple of years.
And also, I felt like, you know, if we go back to that time, I mean, sex, you became scared of sex. Sex was not a pleasurable thing. Sex was just, you know, cloaked with fear everywhere. You know, whenever you'd have sex, it was on your mind, you know, what was going on, you know, am I going to get it, what have you. It was such a scary time, and that didn't capture that. They sort of, they spoke about the condoms and they were distributing it. But something that I did, it did remind me of, and that was the help that the women gave. And, you know, and they were wonderful, and all the volunteers, and the way that the organizations, the community organizations formed during that time that we still have around today, you know, and how they became incorporated and grew to help our community. And I thought that was really good. They did cover that. But you're right, like AZT, the trial, the people getting anemia from it, the side effects, the, like, it wasn't just these pills came along and our death rates declined or what have you, and people were feeling better. People were as sick as dogs on these pills when they came along. And then we had the combination therapy come along a bit later. None of that was addressed in the whole thing. So I feel like, you know, if the whole story of HIV and AIDS was a big pie, they just took out a tiny slice for someone that was watching how much they ate.
I think hopefully there's a sequel to it then.
I hope so.
Yeah. The other thing, and I guess this speaks to what you've both just said, I feel like the story, as you both mentioned, was kind of just like a moment in time, and I didn't necessarily appreciate the kind of what felt like pretty abrupt ending, because we kind of were left in the middle of the story rather than at the end of the story. Fine, that's a storytelling, you know, device and option that they've taken in this series. But what I think about this as a whole is, from everything we're saying, you know, from the acting to the scripting to the musical element, I felt like because of the scripting and because of the way that it was written, it definitely lent itself to more theatrical acting.
Yes.
Then I'm thinking to myself, well, if we think about it as a moment in time and we think about it as just, you know, a little piece of the pie, would this not be better as a play?
It might have been. Well, the thing is, it does go through a lot of locations, right? There are a lot of scene changes.
You could make the bar would be one set, the hospital would be another set, and then you'd have just like a rotating, maybe even like a projector that would be the outside walking scenes or the changed.
With some scenes that actually happened.
Yeah, maybe something like that. I mean, I don't want to, I'm not pitching this as an
this
idea.
This is where Em's going to. She's not leaving Drive to another radio
station. I'm a dramaturg
station.
Now, okay? So you're welcome.
And well, I'm glad it sparked imagination. You know, back to the point about Warren talking about the way it freaked us out about sex, right? We all just became terrified.
So scared, right?
There was a moment, though, that I thought was really beautifully handled, where a child from a school was telling his teacher that he might be gay and how he was terrified. And he obviously was a virgin at the time. And, you know, it sort of, I think if you haven't been through that experience, you probably would take that scene as being a little bit of a throwaway. But for me, because I was at that age, and that has established fundamentally how I experience sex. Like, it has established how I understand sex from before I started having sex until now when I'm middle aged. It's always shrouded in fear. And it's got sort of this. It is burnt into us. And even though AIDS is no longer the threat, the same threat that it used to be, how it has affected the way we have lived and therefore as how we behave as a community, I think it still lingers.
We've just had a message in from Lee from London, who says, I just finished watching it this morning and just finished crying again. What an amazing program and a true reflection of everything we went through and the beautiful people we lost. So the people are having, I suppose, all different experiences with it. I tell you something that I would have liked to have seen, and maybe we are projecting our experiences onto something and it may not be necessary. I don't know, but where are the mass candlelight vigils? You know, we saw a couple of candles being lit, you know. The thousands of people protesting. I remember thousands of people protesting, walking down Bourke Street here in Melbourne at the Candlelight Vigil, you know, to remember those who had lost. None of that's covered, you know. What about ACT UP and the protest that ACT UP, you know, started as well in terms of getting therapy? That wasn't there. The Quilt Project that was created to remember those people, all these really significant things that are so important to our community weren't covered in it.
But I guess it's like that's the age-old problem with anything that is reflective of history. You're going to miss something. You can't get everything.
Well, I guess that's why these stories keep getting made. They always feel like they're not exhaustive.
What did you think of the set for the airport?
I liked all the visuals. Okay, I liked how it all looked like 80s, I guess. You know, a little bit old from our perspective and always a little bit going to fall apart any moment. But it looked whimsical to me. I looked like it was a good aesthetic choice.
We've got a bit of an echo, Susie. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Yeah,
yeah, it just clicked in at some point.
But I'll tell you something. I liked the 80s tracks in it, like, they picked the good tracks, at least.
They were good songs. Look, I think it's great. I think for some of us, it's so personal. It's really hard to make it a perfect show. It will never be a perfect show, but I will certainly recommend people to watch it. This echo is really hard. So maybe let's wrap it up.
It's okay. We just fixed the problem.
Okay, good.
So we are talking about, of course, In Our Blood on ABC TV. All episodes are available on iView now. I think the next one will be streamed or on air next week, next Sunday night.
Oh, it's not finished?
No. They've only shown one on air, I believe.
Oh, on air. Right. But the four is the total number of episodes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Susie, what are we going to be watching next week?
Well, for M's final one, next week we are going to be looking at Queens of the Queer Underground. It is also on ABC iView. Three short documentaries about Australian queers. That's Queens of the Underground, spelled K-W-E-E-N-S. Queens of the Queer Underground on ABC iView next week. I'll see you next Tuesday for M's final Tuesday chat with Susie.
I'm very sad, Susie, but it's okay.
I'm so sad.
We'll save the crying till next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Big cries next week.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll just scream at Enya in the meantime.
Thanks so much, Susie.
Bye.
That's Susie Rong, our theatre, TV and film reviewer. More Susie next week. And it was
Queens of the Queer Underground.
ABC iView. That's what we're watching next.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.